What is up and welcome in. This is Ball Street QB Lists Weekly Stock Exchange Podcast, episode number 5, coming to you on Tuesday, October the 7th, heading into week 6 of NFL action. I am your not so humble host, Eric Romoff, and joining me today, one of our fabulous analysts over here at the QB List, none other than Chris Helly. Chris, how are you feeling heading into week 6?
Feeling good. I think last week I talked about how I was a little emotionally damaged from a Penn State loss and a nervous win for the Eagles. But, you know, that really got doubled down with the second Penn State loss. The Eagles lose. Phillies lost both of our first games. So real life sports are really taking a wear on me. But I think I had a clean sweep in fantasy this week. So that's the saving grace.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not bad. Not bad consolation on the fantasy streets. Definitely a tough scene for the Philly and greater Pennsylvania fandom at large with some of those tough L's that you mentioned. Heading here into week 6, a lot of people also feeling pretty rough around the edges, but with regard to the myriad injuries that have befell many a fantasy manager like out there, some of the most notable that come off the top: Lamar Jackson obviously missed week 5, and his status for week 6 is very much so in doubt as he deals with a hamstring injury. Bucky Irving also absent in week 5, a oddly reported shoulder/foot injury, likely to miss this week and potentially longer as well. A new name, unfortunately, added to the injury report: Omarion Hampton was placed on IR with an ankle injury. Your Eagles are dealing with a short week and are potentially dealing with some uncertainty around the availability of Saquon Barkley. He is DNP on Monday, went DNP on Monday with a knee injury. Antonio Gibson, unfortunately, we all saw it happen on the Island game. The worst is confirmed. He has torn his ACL and is out for the season. And in a little bit more, or at least a couple more injuries that are a little bit more ambiguous, Kyler Murray might have been concussed by a snap he wasn't ready for. He exited the game, though, technically with a foot injury, was able to make his way back into that tilt where they went on to eventually lose to the Tennessee Titans. And Darius Slayton left in the fourth quarter of the Giants game last week with a hamstring injury. So we are deep into the throes of injuries becoming a reality for fantasy managers and for NFL fans alike. Chris, among that unfortunately exhaustive list that I ran through, anything jump out to you as particularly notable? Anything that maybe opens up opportunity for a guy behind them, or just generally changes your perspective on the landscape heading into this week?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is Omarion Hampton. You know, exited the game early, and we saw Hassan Askins get a lot of the early work, and then, you know, Kamani Vidal was rotationally brought in kind of later in the game, so there's an opportunity there for some of those backup running backs to see some more time. And that was a big thing this past week. We saw Rico Dowdle explode. With the Cardinals, they had Michael Carter come in. So, you know, these backup running backs gaining larger roles in the offense is really quite an opportunity.
Yeah, it can certainly be make or break in a given week and for these teams' fortunes and your fantasy fortunes. The interesting thing with Hampton in particular, Hassan Haskins, someone who I wrote up as a potential stash and hold a few weeks back, was technically the only active running back on the roster besides Omarion Hampton. You mentioned Kamani Vidal. He was called up from the practice squad. I would imagine he probably gets signed to the active roster now that they are so thin at that position. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we see them go out and add someone else to their running back rotation, maybe a depth piece, maybe another practice squad type of guy. But definitely a point to watch and monitor there for the Chargers. I want to take a closer look at your hometown Birds. Obviously, any injury cropping up before a Thursday night football game can be a bit of a bit of a quagmire for fantasy managers out there. And in particular with Saquon Barkley, hasn't exactly been living up to the heights that you drafted him to deliver at, but also the situation behind him is a little bit murky, right? So Chris, from your point of view, do you have a good read on who the priority handcuff might be, or just how that situation might shake out if Barkley is either out or potentially limited on Thursday night?
Yeah, so I think the primary handcuff would be AJ Dillon. Will Shipley was seen as the primary handcuff, but earlier injuries in the season kind of kept him sidelined for a while. And this last week was his first week back in action, and we mostly employed him just on special teams. So I mean, there's a good chance that if Saquon were to miss time, then there would be a kind of split workload there. And frankly, I think it would really lean more into the passing game than either of those two being a pretty solid start from fantasy perspective.
I think that is a fair point. Probably a bit more passing for the Eagles on the whole. Of those two, honestly, I would probably liken the situation to what we see in Seattle, where one back, in this case AJ Dillon, has a lot of the between the 20s work, and the other back, Will Shipley, is taking a lot of the third down and goal line work. So it would definitely be a bit of a tough spot to navigate until we see that potentially come to pass. But obviously, we are hoping for nothing but good things in terms of Saquon and his availability for this week's game. So that will do it for this week's injury recap. After a quick break here, we will dive into our stock watch, taking a look at some players whose stocks are moving up and down and identifying some buy low and sell high candidates. All right, and welcome back in. Again, this is Ball Street, a QB List Stock Exchange podcast. We're moving into one of my favorite segments of the show, actually taking a look at the respective stocks of various players across the NFL and fantasy football landscape, getting a gauge of which direction the arrow is pointing for each of them, and then also spending some time in identifying some candidates that we may be able to take advantage of a buy low opportunity or some guys that we want to move off while their stock is very high. So we'll go bad news first here, taking a look at some of the players whose arrow is trending down after week five. Number one with a bullet for me, Derrick Henry. Another problematic week is the way I'll put it. 15 carries for just 33 yards. Saved his day with a touchdown, but ultimately, about a 10-point performance is not what you're looking for out of a player you drafted as highly as Derrick Henry. Woody Marks, the sensation from a week ago, saw a bit of a murky split in terms of workload for the Houston Texans on the other side of that game, finishes the day with 7 carries for just 24 yards. Geno Smith, the beat goes on. 2 more interceptions, now the league leader with 9. T. Higgins, he was basically out there running wind sprints while Ja'Marr Chase was racking up all those garbage time points last week against Detroit. Hasn't had 4 receptions in a game yet this year. Much like Derrick Henry, found his way into the end zone to save his fantasy production, but his involvement seems to be near an all-time low. And lastly, Quentin Johnson managed to catch all 4 of his targets, which for me is still a bit of an upset with regard to Quentin Johnston. But those 4 receptions only went for 40 yards as he comes back down to earth. So, Chris, taking a look at some of those players, any immediate thoughts on the guys that I ran down? Or if not, who are some guys that you might be looking at as having a buy low opportunity in the trade marketplace?
Yeah, so some of these are really tough. I think one of the ones that we mentioned that is a potential buy low would be Derrick Henry. I don't think when I'm watching him on the field that it's an inherent issue that, age has come around and, he's not the same player he once was. The opportunities just aren't there. This offense seems sputtering without Lamar. So this is like a situation where, you could kind of, if you are ahead in your standings right now and you can get by for a few weeks until Lamar comes back, that could present itself with some type of back end of the season upside for when Lamar's back. But in the case of like guys like Woody Marks, where he finally had a big breakout game, we thought this was going to be kind of the tides changing, and even the coaching staff was talking about how they need to get this guy the ball more, and then Nick Chubb is still performing the same that he used to, and he's getting the opportunity. So it's a really tough situation. I don't really know that he's as much of a buy low. I think that's kind of a situation where we see in receiving rooms all the time where just one player has a hot week and the other player seems to fade off. It's going to be a really hard situation to diagnose. And I don't think the Texans have too strong an offensive line that for the rest of the season, I would fully be in on buying Woody Marks.
Yeah, I can see that. And the thing with the Woody Marks manager, just kind of trying to break down the psychology of someone who is rostering him, they still feel like they got the golden ticket, right? So even though he's coming off a down performance, I don't think you're realistically going to get much of a discount if you try to go out there and acquire him, not to mention his circumstances a bit murkier than we would like for it to be following that that explosion in week number four. Derrick Henry is an interesting one, if for no other reason that obviously he's coming off of a down performance. We're not sure about Lamar Jackson's availability this week, but also the Ravens are heading into their bye week, not this week, but the following. And those are guys that I love to go out and lob some buy low offers on, either heading into their bye or as they are on bye. Managers don't like taking that zero in their starting lineup, so you might be able to get just a little bit more value by a timely offer on Derrick Henry. So, Chris, any other names here that come to mind for you in terms of potential buy low targets that we haven't already touched on?
Yeah, so I think if we go back to the Bengals, so that we just had the news actually break just very recently that the Bengals are trading for Joe Flacco. So, you know, the offense might be have a little bit of a shift going on there. We'll see. But, you know, I think a really great buy low right now is Chase Brown. And, you know, we talk about it all the time that volume is king in fantasy football. And I think Chase Brown is like third in opportunity share across all positions with respect to the rush attempts and the targets that he gets on the team. So, you know, the vibes of the Bengals have been really poor to start the season so far, but their schedule's starting to get a little bit easier. You know, if you're a Chase Brown owner, right now you're probably thinking, you know, it's just a bust pick and you got Green Bay coming up this week. So that team is probably bleeding right now. But after Green Bay, they play Pittsburgh, the Jets, Chicago. There's some openings there for Chase Brown to really kind of find his stride. And, you know, maybe Flacco's able to right the ship a little bit for them.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all, right? While you mentioned, you know, third in opportunity share, that's obviously, you know, a relative metric that you want to be towards the top of. But just quantifying that a bit further, nearly 85% opportunity share in the NFL in 2025 is an insane workload. So whether it is Jake Browning looking more like he did last week or Joe Flacco coming in and making a late season chase for a 30-30 title a la Jameis Winston, if Chase Brown is going to be seeing 85% of the opportunities out of that backfield, and his stock is as low as it's currently sitting, he is certainly someone to prioritize. Another name that comes to mind for me, this is very much so living in the ethos of buying low, Trevion Henderson, right? We mentioned earlier, Antonio Gibson is out for the year. So now there is simply one less mouth to feed in that backfield. But also being on the Sunday Night Football game, being on that island game and watching Ramondre Stevenson putting another ball on the turf, and yet Trevion Henderson cannot seem to break through and get his opportunity. This is a player who is insanely talented, but his opportunity has yet to come, and those that drafted him are very much so feeling like they've been sold snake oil. So you can probably go out and acquire shares of him for pennies on the dollar, and as long as you're willing to be patient and wait for that opportunity to come, I think it will pay dividends. Chris, anyone else in the buy low category that you want to double click on?
Yeah, I think kind of a sneaky one is Wandale Robinson. You know, with the Darius Slayton injury, and especially with the state of the Giants right now, like their upcoming schedule is probably the hardest in the league, I believe. So, you know, they're going to have to pass the ball. And this is something that we kind of saw with Jaxson Dart having his first breakout game, is that there was a little bit of thoughts that, you know, that was going to regress and he'd come back down to earth some in his second start. And that was true. But this offense is going to have to change its form without that. You know, Malik Nabers already went down and Darius Slayton. So, you know, when they start getting guys like Tyrone Tracy back involved, this offense is going to have to change and morph. And I think Brian Daboll is the type of offensive minded coach that is going to be able to kind of create opportunities. And Wandale is, you know, last year he had, I think, like over 120 targets, and you know, he's a guy that they are willing to lean the ball on. So if you're in a PPR format, that's a really cheap buy low option right now.
Yeah, don't mind that at all. And we're seeing him get more and more first down reads, getting schemed into action and scheming the ball into his hands. So definitely a player that I think offers a nice PPR floor and has enough skill to potentially you know, break out and have a spike week here or there from time to time. So that is our buy low segment. We will head into a quick break, and then we will move over to the positive side of the spectrum, look at some guys whose arrows are pointing up right after this break. I want to take a moment here to highlight one of our favorite pieces of content and articles over here at QB List, and that is what we saw. What we saw is your weekly shortcut to smarter fantasy football decisions. The entire QB List team of analysts watches every single NFL game and goes beyond the box score to deliver the most important observations, actionable, contextual insights that shape your next lineup move. Make sure to check us out on QBList.com and in the fantasy football subreddit every single Monday morning. And don't forget all of our weekly web content, including start sits, weekly rankings, everything that we've expanded in our QB List podcast network, Sunday Best, the Waiver Wire Show, the weekly forecast, and of course, your favorite here on Ball Street. All of this is available to you over on YouTube. It's the QB List where you can find that, as well as all of our podcast recordings. And you can obviously follow us for some of our short form content over on TikTok. That is at QB_list. And welcome back into Ball Street, the QB List stock exchange show. Gotten all of that bad news out of the way, and we are heading over to a more positive side of the week that was in the fantasy football landscape, looking at guys whose stock is on the rise and whose arrow is pointing in the right direction. Some of those stock up candidates coming off of big week five performances. Kyren Williams all of a sudden got busy as a pass catcher, caught 8 of his 10 targets, finished with 131 all-purpose yards, and converted himself for 2 touchdowns. Rico Dowdle, one of those backups we mentioned earlier, took his opportunity and quite literally ran with it. 206 yards on 23 carries, also found the end zone in week 5. Darren Waller, second week on the field, second trip to the end zone, found his way to a score, as well as 5 receptions for 78 yards. That put him all the way up as tight end number 5 on the week. The vaunted and much called for Bill Kroski Merritt breakout game finally arrived, 111 yards and 2 scores for JCM. And then lastly, Stephon Diggs continues to move in the right direction in terms of his rapport with Drake May. This week, week number 5, converting 10 of 12 targets for 146 yards. That now makes 2 straight games over 100 yards receiving. So, Chris, a lot of excitement around the players that I just ran through. Any one that you want to spotlight, or any thoughts on the on this group as a whole before we head into some sell high candidates?
Yeah, so I think Rico Dowdle is a big one, because you know it's not a situation where this was a full-time backup and the starter got hurt. Like, Rico Dowdle was very much involved before Chuba Hubbard missed time. So, you know, him taking this opportunity and doing what he did with it is really massive. And I think it also draws away from Chuba Hubbard's value when he returns. I think this kind of earned Rico's kind of time on the field, and that time split is going to be a little bit more balanced than we would have expected. And I think kind of the same goes for Kyren Williams, where, you know, we had seen through the first few weeks of, you know, with Blake Corum getting more involved and him being showing flashes that he was the guy he was drafted to be. And that might take away from Kyren, but Kyren, you know, he really cemented himself as the lead back and really put a pin in Blake Corum for the time being.
Yeah, he did. And a lot of that has to do with Blake Corum's untimely fumble. It seemed like the beginning of that week five game on Thursday night was one where they were probably heading to a pretty similar split that we'd seen through the early part of the season. All of a sudden, Blake Corum lets one hit the turf, and he was firmly on the pine. It was definitively Kyren Williams' season. We all know that Sean McVay has a bit of a history in terms of holding a grudge in that regard. So this could be the opportunity for Kyren to completely be unlocked and deliver some of that RB1 upside. With some of these guys whose arrows are pointing up, that often opens up the opportunity to move on from them and sell while their stock is highest. So, Chris, whether it is some of the guys we already mentioned or maybe some other players from around the league, who are you looking to capitalize on their recent boom performances and move off of them in the trade market?
It might be an unpopular opinion, but personally, I think Bill Krosky-Merritt is one to potentially move on from. I think the Commanders are a team that has playoff aspirations, and I don't know with this current backfield that they're going to kind of maintain this for the rest of the year, whether it's just Bill is going to be the workhorse back for them, or, we had seen in previous weeks where they had some of the other guys, Chris Rodriguez or Jeremy McNichols getting more involved. So I think this was just a spike week for Bill that was really good. And, he might still lead the backfield in opportunities, but he's not going to be a bell cow for them. I think they lined Debo up in the backfield a lot during that game. And that's something that once Terry McLaurin is back, maybe they start just handing more jet sweeps off to Debo or even just employing him like a running back when he was in San Francisco. So I think this was just a spike week that Bill believers seem to, really see as the Bucky Irving to the moon for the rest of the year, but I'm not sure I'm fully buying in on that.
Oddly enough, I am completely in lockstep with you with regard to Bill Krosky-Merritt and a couple of the names that we've mentioned on our stock up list. With regard to Bill first, obviously his best career, best game of his young career and best game of the season. But if you look at his usage, not materially different from what we've seen for the Commanders through the previous 4 weeks, right? Certainly his highest snap share, but below 50%, got up to 47% in week five, whereas the other runners, McNichols and Rodriguez, both saw 25% snap share respectively. So, while these booms and these spikes will come, it's really hard to project reliable fantasy productivity from a guy who is in the midst of a three-way split, even if he has the most, the largest slice of that pie. Secondarily, and this might even be a spicier take, especially this is someone that you were just talking up a moment ago, Rico Dowdle. He was someone that I was highest on in our QB list ranks last week, but now that this performance is here, I think you have to at least sniff around and see what you can get for him in the market, right? Your point is bang on from my perspective. He played well enough to earn a longer standing opportunity in this offense. But I don't know if the Carolina coaching staff is just going to give him the job when Chuba Hubbard is healthy and available, right? Maybe he's on the better side of the split. But point being, anyone out there is looking at Rico Dowdle like he is the next coming, and you might have an opportunity to get back end RB1 or high end RB2 return, maybe with a throw in piece or a depth piece for a player that realistically, I think after this coming week number six, is probably somewhere in the range of a 60-40 split in either direction. So if you can get that, that lead workhorse running back return for Rico Dowdle, I think you have to at least consider it. However impressed I was with his performance in week number five and what I believe he'll do coming up here in week number six. Another sell high candidate that comes to mind for me, Ramondre Stevenson. I have to believe that if this player continues to put the ball on the turf, he will see some of his opportunities taken away from him. Just logically, this is a New England team that is now competitive in NFL football games week in and week out, and they simply can't have these type of turnovers. I also tend to believe Trevion Henderson has the talent and skill profile where he will overtake this role and this opportunity on merit alone. So if someone out there is willing to give you reasonable return for Ramondre Stevenson coming off of another spike week, I think you have to certainly entertain that. One last segment here on the positive side of the spectrum. Talked about guys who have gone off here in recent order that we are trying to take advantage of and move off as a potential depreciating asset. Let's go to the other side of that same coin. Guys that have been doing fairly well for themselves throughout the season and guys that are performing up to or beyond our expectation that we are still trying to go out and acquire wherever we can. Chris, do you have any names that come to mind who fit that bill?
Yeah, I think Bucky Irving is one that is a must buy for me, and I'm willing to spend up to get him. Tristan Wirfs coming back this last week was massive for the Buccaneers run game. And that kind of lent its hand toward Rashad White having a big week. And so, if you're a Bucky owner, I think for the first few weeks of the year, you saw that, he is that guy and he is an RB1, but even in a split workload, and we see that with Jahmyr Gibbs too. So Bucky Irving's a guy that, you know, you might be able to get for a little cheaper right now while he's injured, and Rashad White came off a big week, and lock in a potential second RB1 for your roster.
Yeah, don't mind that at all. Bucky Irving is obviously one of the dynamic young runners in the NFL. Coming off of an injury is usually an opportunity to go out there and get a little bit of value, get a little bit of a discount in the trade market. So don't mind targeting him whatsoever. A couple of the players that I was high on heading into the season and who have so far made me look a little bit smart. One, Devon Achane. You know, obviously this is a player who is electric and can take any touch, any reception, any carry to the house or create an explosive play out of it. But what I've been really surprised by with him is just how safe his floor is, really, you know, regardless of game script, regardless of circumstance that the Dolphins find themselves in, they're finding a way to keep Devon Achane involved, whether it is some of these crazy 7, 8, 9 target games where he is just eating you alive from a PPR standpoint, or it's games where he's breaking off runs with a 6, 7, 8 yard per carry average. And even on the floor, on the downside, as we saw this week, only 16 yards as a rusher, but was able to catch a couple passes, was able to find his way into the end zone. That type of optionality is exactly what I'm looking for in a buy target and in a long-term asset. And I think the same can be said for my second candidate here, none other than JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Obviously, fresh off of the game of the week, that incredible afternoon tilt between the Seattle Seahawks and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where the scoring came in bunches, and Jackson Smith and Jigba continued the good times rolling. He's now firmly in the wide receiver one conversation week in and week out. I believe I've got him as my wide receiver 3 over in the QB list rankings this week. But what is most exciting for me is that in this game in particular, he showed a couple of things that were very promising and that were new developments for him specifically. Found his way into the end zone, right? He wasn't getting it done by getting 14, 15 targets and just voluming you to death. But also, it looked like there was much more of that vertical element that we've seen from Clint Kubiak's offense in years past, really unlocked in the Seattle Seahawks version of his offensive coordinating duties. And JSN was the primary target for him. He was going downfield far more often. Sam Darnold looked perfectly comfortable uncorking those deep balls in his direction. So much like with Devon Achane, just another arrow in the quiver for JSN, another way that he can hit pay dirt for you and pay off what would likely be a pretty lofty price tag to go out and acquire him. So those are the three players that we have outlined as targets to go out and buy, even though they are already off to a hot start. Chris, anyone else come to mind? Any player coming off of a week 5 performance that we haven't touched on that you wanted to spend a little bit of time spotlighting?
We mentioned his name before, but I think kind of following suit with the Miami Dolphins is Darren Waller. I think it's an interesting one. Ooh. Where it follows kind of step for step with what we saw from Jonnu Smith last year. And I'll regrettably admit that with Jonnu's start to the breakout last year, I wasn't fully bought in on it. And, you know, I when I was talking with other people, I was like, yeah, this type of usage it's really interesting. But, you know, the offense is, you know, it's structured a certain way that I didn't find it very reliable, but it just absolutely was, and it continued to be the whole rest of the year. And it looks like Darren Waller, and we had concerns with Waller coming back this season. And, you know, right off the bat, he has a 2-touchdown game, follows it up with another touchdown this week. And, you know, he's rolling right now. It seems to be like he is the next version of the tight end in this Miami offense that's going to be, you know, a top fantasy option.
Yeah, we got a sample of that with Jonnu Smith last year. Obviously, if he steps into that role, there is a lot to be excited about. I was thinking about this earlier today. Darren Waller might be, at least if this is the version of Darren Waller that's there, this might be the best red zone threat that Tua's ever had in his NFL career, right? 6'6", can still body guys, can still get separation in those tight areas of the field. What I think is most exciting about the Darren Waller circumstances, if you watch that Miami game, he came out like a firecracker. He was immediately a focal point. He was involved at every turn. It seemed like he was the emphasis in their offense. And then all of a sudden, he just disappeared into the background. And you look at it, he played 32 snaps. And after the game, there was reporting from one of the local guys on the beat that Mike McDaniel said, they wanted to get him about 30 snaps in this second game. So he hit that mark, and they essentially took their foot off the gas, which on the other side of that coin, if there are weeks ahead where they are not going to have a governor on him and he is completely unlocked in this offense, the sky is absolutely the limit. So I love that call with Darren Waller, as I love a lot of the buy high targets that we just ran through here. Chris, that will do it for the episode number 5 of Ball Street QB List Stock Exchange podcast. Before we get out of here, plug anything that you're working on. Let the people know where they can find your work.
Yeah, I support all our What We Saw series. I do a game a week. That's on over on QB List. You can find me on Twitter at Chris Helly QBL. I'm active on our Reddit page after we post our What We Saw series, answer any questions about the games you might have. And I'm very active in our Discord too. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, Chris is all up and down those QB List streets, as am I. You can find my work over on Twitter at FantasyNav. I am part of the ranking squad at QB List so far through 4 weeks of the season. We're waiting on week 5 results. We've had two different weeks with a QB List ranker inside of Fantasy Pros Top 10. So make sure you're checking out the work that the squad is doing over there. I am writing up some stash and hold defenses that you can play for weeks at a time. I'm taking a closer look at some players that might be a bit of fool's gold, not quite living up to, or at least not sustaining a role that would match their fantasy production thus far. I'm also looking at some first come, first serve, post waiver addition priority targets every single Wednesday morning. So all this is to say, whether it's mine, whether it's Chris's, there is a ton of amazing work and analysis available for you over at the QB List. Make sure that if you are following us along here on the YouTube channel, that you have hit that like and subscribe button to support our work. If you are listening in the audio format, leave us a rating, leave us a review. It's the best way to get our word out there for everything that is happening over here at the QB List. Like I mentioned right off the top, I am your host for this week, Eric Romoff, and this has been Ball Street QB List Stock Exchange Podcast.